to ask, am I not supposed to talk about who I'm doing interviews with? Because that's fine, right, to tell people? Because the students from my last class were all asking, who are you doing interviews with?
Oh, I wouldn't reveal that information. Just, oh, really? Just, you've got an interview.
Okay.
It's too late, right?
Yeah.
Look at his face.
The conversation already happened.
It's too late, because, someone asked me, and then I said, you know, I told them, and then after I said it, I was like, should I not have said anything?
I told you that in confidence, but, you know.
Because they were acting like, you know, everybody finds out who they interview with.
You find out on the day of your interview.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You don't find out beforehand?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can ask them. Did you guys know who was interviewing you?
I think I did. But it was a weird circumstance because they couldn't get a second person in, so I only interviewed Bob.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't get a second
person. But did you know you were interviewing with Bob?
I'd written it down. Yeah, I was like, Bob Kaisner, okay, who is this person? You know, so like, I definitely, like, I remember that, because I remember thinking his name was pronounced the wrong way.
You know why I thought that it was okay that it probably was okay? It was because on that interview email I got, it was like, we will try as hard as we can to make requests for whoever you want to interview with.
Yeah.
But not all requests will be made. So I figured that people are asking to interview with people, and that they, you know, well, most people are getting to interview with whoever they want.
This is the first year we've even offered that.
Really?
Oh, that's interesting.
I apologize for that. I realized that. Mm-hmm.
Now your chance.
I guess the danger is that we could feed you inside information about how to impress the specific person and like what they would be looking for, and that's probably not fair.
Mm-hmm.
So I will not be doing that by G-chat tonight. Yeah. Well, definitely not. You're on your own. You'll do great. You don't need insider information.
It was Ian.
He's got the most insider information of any applicant we've ever had.
You know so much about the program, you can make a really educated decision. I mean, you're in a really good place with that.
And the person I was talking to was Ian, who he knows, you know, everything that's going on anyway, because he's been in the coding team, and, you know.
Ian?
You know, your research assistant.
He's not in this coding team.
Oh, well, no. But in the beginning he was, or he was just sitting in it.
He was just sitting in.
He sat in.
He was sitting in it. But he kind of knew everything that was going on. And he was always listening to all our conversations about, you know, all the questions about the program and stuff.
Oh,
so
okay.
I felt like he kind of, you know.
Stop.
What day are you interviewing? Is it March 1st? Or are you interviewing on a different day?
March 13th.
13th. Okay, good. Because I'm a student interviewer on March 1st, so I just, you know, I should interview you probably because I'm a little biased.
Friday the 13th.
I say Dustin's in. I don't know how much effect, you know, how much clout I actually have, but I am going to be a student conducting interviews and I will have input. Which is really cool. I think this year is the first year for that too.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first year in a few years? We used to do that one time ago.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
We got away from that, and now we have to go back to that.
I'm too nice. I think I went to the open house to sort of sell the program at the Post open house, and everyone seemed great. I mean, everyone has like amazing, like different kinds of experience. It's really, you know, unique stuff. So.
I have mine on Friday the 13th, the date.
Oh, it's a lucky day.
Not that I'm
sure we're black.
I'm not superstitious, but it's an exciting day.
One of the biggest days of your life?
Yeah.
That's putting pressure on you.
Yeah.
So, here's the deal. When we first started coding, Linnae's sessions, we had coded one or a couple of the cornerstone sessions. That didn't go so well, as you recall. Now that we're winding down with Linnae, we'll be done next week, I want to invite you all to consider coding one or two of the cornerstone sessions to see how we do now that we've had all this experience training and coding Linnae's sessions and see how we do. the pay would be the same, $25 per session. And Celeste would pay. So I would like to continue, but I'm not the one doing the coding.
How many sessions are there?
I'd have to check on that.
Can you just try to think of like a timeline?
Actually, they're in my office. Of the two kids, you know, one's Lydia, one's Nikos, she actually was more interested, she thought it would be more interesting to code Lydia. And for Lydia, there are 42 sessions. With Nikos, and we've done one of them, but the reliability was very poor. The other kid, Nikos, has 30 sessions. Now I could if you thought 42 was, that would be what, 24 weeks. If that's too much of a time commitment, I could tell Celeste that and see whether she would rather go with Nikos, which is only 30 sessions, which is a 15-week commitment. So, thoughts, feelings?
So one of my feelings is I know that I just applied to the clinical assistantship, which is like 7 hours a week, so I don't know, just in terms of the time, like how much more time I would have for this. That's my thought, because I'll have like an additional commitment for this upcoming semester. So I guess it depends how soon you would want to start, you know, which
well,
I'm
it would
assuming be, will be soon.
It would be immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, in two weeks from today.
Right.
Let's say.
So probably wouldn't need time to think about that, just because I don't want to have too much on my plate.
And when does that start?
They still have to interview for it, but I applied for a clinical assistantship that's for 6 months, so it would be starting, I'm assuming, soon.
And who sponsors that?
Tom's and Mary. We just got like a grant for like trauma.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I would want to think about it. I don't have anyone else's feeling.
What do you guys say?
I'm feeling a little burnt out, I have to say. And I've got a lot going on, and I also just feel like I'm at that point in the program where I need to start focusing on my own dissertation rather than on other people's research. And I've done a lot. You know, the whole first year I was doing Emily Jones' stuff, and all of this year I've been working, well, I guess not as much last year, but, you know, this year, you know, on the Q-sort for Lene, and actually more and more I think I do want to use the Q-sort, you know, for my dissertation. I don't think I could commit to a whole other project right now, seeing as probably I'll have my own project starting.
This Nikos or Lydia project would not necessarily compete with if you chose to do your dissertation around one of these kids.
Yeah.
These are Asperger's kids.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And I know you have an interest in that. But
I do.
You have your own tapes.
I do.
Which are of an Asperger's kid. You have your own Asperger's kid.
I wonder if you know, Lene's tapes, there could be, you know, there's a lot more questions that could be asked with those tapes. And we've
right.
coded all those. I feel like
yeah.
I've put a lot of blood and sweat into those. And
yeah.
I know Lei is interested in asking
mm-hmm.
questions of those too, maybe. And
mm-hmm.
so hopefully if Lene were kind enough, you know, to let us ask questions of that data as well, since we did put in the time, you know, and then maybe, yeah, Stephens and, you know, but, you know, I don't know if I'm as interested in the cornerstone tapes. I'm feeling really burnt out. yeah. of late. So.
Well, you also had a bad day today.
Yes, I've had a couple of bad days. It's been, I don't know. It's not really something I'm very interested in continuing. I find myself really excited that we're coming to the end of Lene's tapes. So I'm feeling like that's a big milestone. So to think about starting new ones is overwhelming me. So, you know, I would be happy, though, to offer my services in helping to train new coders. If you could get first years, you know, who have the time, first or second years, who have, you know, maybe more time or, you know, more inclination, then I of course, would like to be helpful.
Sure. That wouldn't work, though, because we tried that. You guys were at the point of just beginning training when you first did the Lydia and Nikos tapes in August, mm-hmm. and it was a disaster. The whole reason to wait on the
right.
Lydia and Nikos tapes was to get
people.
The experience so that you'd be more qualified to establish reliability on these tapes.
Right. No, I do see how we're much more desirable coders than training new people.
Yeah. I mean, to train them to where you're at, they'd have to train on a different sample before they could become skilled enough to even try to attempt coding these kids.
Yeah.
So that's the issue with training a new team.
I see.
Now, if we were coding Stefan, you know,
yeah.
there's so many other variables that were so highly controlled. I mean, great videotape,
mm-hmm.
sound was perfect,
yeah, we have pretty good reliability,
no other distractions.
Summer,
that's
maybe
one thing yeah. about the Nikos Lydia tapes is I just looked at so many of those sessions. I had the whole book and was trying to pick one out in the beginning, and they're just such terrible quality. It's
mm-hmm.
like
yeah.
impossible to hear anything they're saying, really. And it's all just like 10 kids
yeah. right.
going around in a room yelling and screaming. It's like, what am I watching here? Like,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
really like baffling when you look at the coding cards and then try to be like,
which kid is that?
What
yeah.
am I doing?
So you feel the same way?
I mean, I'm in a totally different world than these guys. I mean, they're under a lot of pressure. And
you're not?
No, I mean, I'm still here. I'm still
slave?
Totally what you're about to say.
Yeah, exactly. I'm still your lowly research assistant, and that's my primary obligation right now, so whatever, you know. I'm, you know, still open for stuff, but I definitely think that those, I'm not particularly looking forward to coding those sessions that we looked at. I mean, they just were very
well, you read, how many did we actually look at? We only looked at two or three, right? So,
yeah.
You know, one swallow doesn't make a summer. I don't know if all the sessions are
yeah,
that kind of
I
poor
mean,
quality.
How was my and Lene's reliability?
It was under 0.7.
Because at that point, Lene and I had both been coding under supervision with you for a while, and, you know,
but you
not as skilled as I would be at this point, but still.
That wouldn't count. You know why? Because you two hadn't really, neither one of you had been trained on the actual manual.
You and Lene coded
it? They coded separately.
One, a couple of Lydia and Nikos. Maybe just one Lydia and one Nikos.
I mean, you would agree that all the meetings that we've had since going back to last summer,
oh, yeah.
talking about the items, what they mean,
oh, sure.
consulting with Celeste about the meaning of certain items, getting back to us, me telling you what Celeste said, revising your meaning, your understanding of the items,
yeah.
how we understand them in the context of the session, all that work that we've done, reviewing videotape occasionally, helps you to understand what the author, Celeste, was getting at when she wrote, you know, child plays with toys, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? How does that...
So,
you really can't compare how you and Lene did on a tape with what we've been doing, what we've been achieving in these meetings. I mean, you and Lene had never sat in on one single meeting prior to that point.
Right.
So you did, neither one of you had the benefit, and that's actually one of the limitations of her dissertation findings, because she did not go through any formal training like you guys had when she coded each one of her sets. Same with you.
So is she assuming in her dissertation that our, you know, that our sort of viewing of the sessions is of a different quality than her?
Absolutely.
Well, of course it's going to be, because she did it from memory too. Right. She didn't watch the video.
Absolutely.
But I guess that's her whole point of her dissertation was her.
Right, but you know, it's right. One thing to be influenced by the counter transfer, it's another thing to misinterpret the items. And
right.
You know,
and
she might have been misinterpreting the items and
she's calling
been influenced by countertransference. You know, so there is that's a limitation of her findings. So, but you guys have now have the benefit of having been trained over almost the course of a year. You know, so it's different. It's a very different place you guys are in.
I was very confused, like when we first started looking at them, as to how, like Celeste created the. A CPQ, right?
Yes, with Enrico Jones.
And Celeste. Wait, so are those Celeste's clients, Nikos and Lydia, or?
No, I don't think they're her personal patients, but they were patients at a clinic that she works at.
So she does, but so she has seen them, and she thinks that they are definitely, you know, worthy.
She wasn't sure.
Coded.
She thought there would be a good chance that they could be coded, and. Of course, when I told her that my students were having a very difficult time coding the ones that we did look at, she was surprised. She was surprised by that. I said, you know, in order to help her feel a little better, I said, you know, let's move to coding Lene's data. We'll do that. They'll have a lot of experience by then.
Right.
You know, they'll be seasoned coders, and then we can return to the cornerstone data.
Okay.
And she was okay with that. But I hear you guys, you know, you feel kind of burned out and, you know, it's been a long haul. So, Sylvie's not here, but, you know, if she's more enthusiastic, we might just have a team of one, or of two, you and Sylvia. But I would like everybody to commit to one session, just to see. And I'll ask Celeste whether she has one session in particular that she thinks is outstanding. And then I'd have all of you code the same session and see how we do. Can we commit to that?
I can commit to that. Because I think that'll help you know.
Yeah, I just want to know whether they're codable.
Whether this is a moot point or not.
Exactly.
Because if we can't code the most excellent session, then
exactly. Then
this is just not.
Then we can just abandon this project and we'll move on.
And that will be helpful for you. So
absolutely.
I can do it.
And you'd be paid $25. Maybe the amount is not so important.
It's a good amount. I'm happy for money. I just, you know.
If it takes you 2 hours, it's $12.50 an hour. That's not bad, right?
Mm-hmm. Does it really only take you guys 2 hours? I think I'm just like slow moving in everything I do. Maybe, I don't know.
Well, you said you told me 2.5.
I did. Yeah.
It was more 2.5 in the beginning, but I think now that I have my. Like
mine
card system, it does move a little bit faster.
Right.
How long does it take you, Dustin?
Just about 2 hours, sometimes a little bit more if I start getting a little drowsy during the video and have to rewind a few times, go back, you know.
Of course, when Lene's sessions are 1 hour and 5 minutes.
What?
It depends how long the
session we coded last night was over an hour.
Depends how long the session
is. I was so
mad.
I'm like, Lynette, end the session. I am watching this on my free time.
And is it because Cheyenne kept...
No, sometimes it's because of that, but this seemed to be because they kind of left the room and peeked their heads out, and I think it was because Rachel and her client weren't really done yet, so I think Lene just sort of kept Cheyenne in the room.
Like babysitting.
Yeah, because she didn't really like make any real interpretations or any like interventions after that. She just sort of let Cheyenne continue to play with the baby doll and just sort of like sat there. I could tell she kind of disengaged herself. It wasn't really like part of the session. And nothing really happened in that section that was codable. It was like an extra 10 minutes or something.
Mm-hmm.
But our sessions are typically like 50, 55 minutes.
I feel like even last night's session was still, I mean, definitely wasn't nearly as bad as last week, but
yeah, my sort was weird.
I feel like it was not a lot of like therapy going on. It was a lot of just Cheyenne talking and Lene kind of, you know, going along. I mean, Lene wasn't making many interpretations or many big statements.
And I think, I mean, I suspect, we can look at the cards, but I suspect that maybe what might have gotten screwed up is that there's cards like, you know, therapist makes links between interpersonal experiences when there are opportunities to do so, and I saw opportunities to do so that Lene didn't pick up on, so I would I would not put that card in neutral, I'd put it low.
Mm-hmm.
But I do wonder if maybe one difference could be maybe you put those more in neutral, I put them more in low. These are cards that typically I do put like kind of on the high side because Lene typically does follow up on things or she'll make interpretations, but it really wasn't, that wasn't so evident. So those things actually got sort of opposite of where they usually are, rather than just being too neutral. But I, you know, I try not to put them like extremely low, but to note those missed opportunities. I guess I don't know what went wrong. I think 2 weeks ago, I'm not surprised about that reliability. Last night, I don't know, my sort was weird. I had like a couple too many on the bottom and had to like bump things up a little bit.
I was a little surprised. I figured it was probably figuring like low sevens.
Yeah.
Well, can we endeavor to really try really hard this last, just to be sure we're, I think we're probably hovering right around seven, and anything lower than that, this is not going to be publishable, so.
Did they make up for us to be plus seven?
Yeah. Last two, we have 0.73 and then 0.74 or something,
yeah,
so it should
be able
to
make
up. I mean, this team's carrying you guys,
yeah,
right
the
now.
Yeah, the average between our teams this week, I think, was like right at 0.7.
It was 0.705.
Yeah, I could see that they were like a little above 7, we were a little below 7. I mean, it has been that way for a few weeks now that you guys have, you know, because you've been a little above 7, have kept us at
right.
an average of 7. But
yeah.
I'm surprised that for the whole...
Sorry that you're carrying us.
For the whole total, you mean we're just hovering at 7?
Yeah, I think so. I have to go back and...
Because we have some that are pretty low, I feel like. We need to be carried by the
rest. We do.
Well,
if you have some time after this, I could give you the my files, and you can just add up the correlations and divide them by 31, and we can figure this out.
Okay.
But I'm thinking it's pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
You have some time after?
Yeah.
I got a supervision with Shlomo, but if you're around, I'll give you the file.
Okay.
And you can just, if you got a... use a calculator on one of the computers and just add them up and divide by the number to take the average. So,
yeah.
Was Kia's reliability a bit higher?
0.73.
Like 0.73.
Yep. That's what I was shooting for this time around, but I don't think we're anywhere near that.
What did Kia code?
She coded adult psychotherapy sessions with borderline patients.
And their coding was different because they would read it. They would read the session rather than watch it. So,
and that was the only one that was done.
Giacomo was saying he finds it a lot harder to watch, and Sylvia was saying he finds it harder to watch the video and code than to read the session.
You have to write everything down.
I wonder if for my dissertation I could pay to have someone transcribe the sessions and then coders could both watch it and read it.
Dustin was doing that at the beginning.
You had been doing that. You did it for a couple of my Stephens sessions.
Yeah,
I could pay you to do that. If I do end up...
Stephens.
I mean, it's going to be a lot of sessions to transcribe, though, but that actually probably would increase reliability to have that printed out and have everyone be clear on what the wording is.
Those sessions were definitely much easier to transcribe. The conversation was a lot... like,
slower.
Flowing. Flowed more... evenly.
Also, Stephen gives nice pauses between his words that a typer can type in.
That's true. Plus, Dustin has this software program that actually slows down the audio so that you have time to type.
Well, you're totally my transcriber.
It's called eScribe?
Stay in touch.
eScribe, wasn't it?
EasyScribe.
Okay.
Okay.
Might be worth it.
There should be like a program that does it automatically.
I think there are some programs that will like listen to the words and transcribe it, but it makes
the words
mistakes.
Are messed up.
Express.
It'll make mistakes.
Right.
And it'll, you know, make mistakes in terms of what's it called when a word looks the same.
Right.
Or sounds
a homonym.
The same. A homonym. Yeah.
So let's go through this. We've got 11 discrepancies. So the first one is 17. Therapist actively exerts control over the interaction. For example, structuring, introducing new topics. Laura put it in 2, Dustin in 6.
Yeah, I didn't think that she was controlling the interaction really very much at all.
So why'd you put it in 6?
But as for ordering all the cards, though, I mean, it's still pretty uncharacteristic for it to be in 6, right?
No, it's characteristic.
Well,
slightly.
I think I made a mistake on that.
Maybe you meant 4?
I think I meant to do, 4.
4 would be slightly uncharacteristic, which would mean that the therapist was tended not to be exerting control.
Yeah. I didn't think that she... I remember sorting this card and thinking that she did not exert any control over the interaction and that Cheyenne did the whole thing. I don't know why that happened.
Well, we should probably sort these cards when we're wide awake.
No, I was wide awake.
All right. You had said earlier that sometimes you get drowsy when you're doing this.
Well, I was
sorry about later than I thought it was gonna be.
I was just kidding.
It's fine. You're not in the hot seat.
I'm not what?
In the hot seat.
I'm not. I noticed that I was not gonna be.
Fair enough.
I was kind of just joking about the length of time it takes me to code. You know, it's kind of a joke, but
okay. All right, so that's 17. 23. Therapy session has a specific focus or themes. An old friend of ours.
Mm-hmm.
Laura says, wow, 9. Had a
yeah.
very specific focus or theme, and Dustin said 3.
Oh.
Not so much.
Well,
Dustin felt multiple topics were discussed.
I mean, I definitely think it's characteristic. I think I did have to bump things into the 9 pile, but I know this card started in the 8 pile, and I ended up having to bump it up. But, I mean, the whole session was really about babysitters. So the very beginning of the session was Cheyenne teaching Lene, and Lene's the student, and Cheyenne's writing on the board, Stefan style, you know, about what are the roles of babysitters, what do babysitters do? And then the play moved to like playing with a doll and acting out kind of like a story about the mother leaving and the babysitter taking care of the baby. And that was the whole session really with the baby doll. I mean, I felt like it all kind of, it was interesting to me that both the part that was teaching and the part that was play acting and really kind of projective in a way for Cheyenne, especially to
mm-hmm.
projectively play with the doll is notable for her, but that all of it was kind of in this theme of mother leaving, surrogate mother babysitter, the baby peeing and pooping, and you know what babies do, and what's the role of babysitter, what's the role of baby. I felt like it was very cohesive. I don't have to be a 9. I mean,
well, I thought that definitely that was a theme, but I did think that they discussed, you know, a few other topics, like they discussed how she repeated first grade twice and didn't go to kindergarten, and they discussed some stuff about just like why, what makes the baby a girl, and they discussed some bathroom issues. So I thought that meant that I saw that as there being a few different things that were discussed, and I mean, even though there was that general theme of the baby and babysitting, I just, that was why.
Well, even if it's a few, that still would count as specific focus. If you read under the item, place toward characteristic direction if interaction is kept to a single or a few primary foci.
Yep, okay.
So, uncharacteristic would be more than a few.
Okay.
Yeah, like, when I think of uncharacteristic for this card, I think of, like, some of the kids with ADHD that I work with now who are just, like, you can't even get them to sit down with you for a second, and even, like, they won't even finish a sentence. They'll be like, oh, yesterday I went to the, okay, let's play with this, you know, and it's like, I mean, that would be like a one, but I do like think of this as kind of like the ADHD card. There's another card about social awkwardness that I now think of as like the Asperger's card, and I'm like, there's definitely with this card. And that's why these sessions do help, because we do clarify that. But I kind of think about that, and I really thought Cheyenne was pretty like on focus. But they did talk about different things pertaining to the baby. I agree, but it was all kind of in that.
Yeah. I think you're right about
it. Nine is extreme.
When you
I'll come down.
Remind me about the ADHD card and how.
I don't know. Would you agree that this is that's kind of what it's trying to?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to label it like that, but I do see the similarity to the diagnosis.
I guess.
25. Child has difficulty leaving the session. Laura said 7. Dustin said 3. Now, I had asked you that, and
yeah,
you said no, it wasn't about that.
And I didn't really think it was about that, but and that's why I didn't put it. I mean, the session went on like 10 minutes longer than
right, but I had asked you whether it was Renee's doing or Cheyenne's doing.
I suspected,
doing.
But I couldn't really tell, because I don't really know what went on outside of the door. But I do know that, you know, that when they came back in the room, Cheyenne was happy to play and wasn't really focused on, you know, being the end of the session. But I think, I mean, maybe because I didn't know, I should have just put it in neutral. Because there was a point, Lene said, we have to clean up. And Cheyenne didn't help clean up at all. Lene sort of cleaned up the room herself. And Cheyenne went to go get more water to feed the baby. So I did see that as kind of like extending the
maybe
session.
Maybe a 6.
When it was time to clean up. Maybe a 6, or maybe even a 5, because I just didn't really know why Lene was going so long this time. Usually it is pretty clear that Cheyenne is doing it, but this time it was very clear. So, I mean,
what do you think, Dusty?
Do you think she left really easily?
I just didn't see there being any real problem with her leaving, because she really didn't say anything. I'm not comparing it to other sessions, but she just didn't really put up any kind of fight like she usually does about leaving. And I think Lene was like, you know, she gave her like a 5 or 10 minute warning, and I think that was kind of fine for her. She just did a couple last things, but she wasn't like resisting leaving at any point. I didn't see any signs of her.
I guess that's more neutral then, because it didn't really stick out as a thing. Like, when I think of a characteristic, I think of how I would tell Stefan that the session was over, and he's like, okay, bye, and he would just run out the door.
You know? He might not say bye, he would creep out for the door.
The escape. but I guess if, like, she didn't really have a problem with it, then maybe that's neutral, and maybe both of us need to just think of it as sort of like a non-issue for the session.
Okay.
All right. Child ignores or rejects therapist's comments and observations.
What
42.
Number? Which one?
42. Child ignores or rejects therapist's comments and observations.
Mm.
Laura put in 4, Dustin in 8.
I have a sheet that I, with my notes, which I conveniently forgot to bring with me. Where I have lots of different ignores and bold letters of Cheyenne ignoring her, because Lene kept trying to say, like, well, Cheyenne, it seems like this really bothers you. seems like you really don't want to discuss this because it really bothers you, like the first grade thing. Why didn't you, so you're not going to, you're supposed to be in third grade, but you're not, like, that seems to really bother you. And then Cheyenne would be like, so let's get back to the baby.
That's true.
She was totally, like, blatantly ignoring her a lot of, like, a few different times.
I wrote that, no, I agree with you on that, because then she said something really cute. She's like, I know what we can do instead of talking. Let's play the babysitter and the babysitter and the baby. And I'm like,
yeah.
You know? Like, so she sets up like the whole play scenario so they can stop talking. Okay. I agree with you.
That sounds pretty salient to me.
Yeah, I sort of felt like both ways about this item. Like, I kind of wanted to put it in 8 and 2 because I, you know, she did do that a lot. She did resist a lot, but I also thought she, more than like 50% of the time, she did respond when Lene talked to her. So that's why I put it like in 4, because I felt like a little bit more she did respond than didn't. But there were a lot of rejections and comments. But I guess this card doesn't mean that like every attempt was rejected. It just means that's kind of notable. What stands out to you?
She responds to like the stuff that's not crying at her, or, you know,
it's not anxiety provoking.
Yeah.
But whenever something anxiety provoking comes up, she will bat it away.
Yeah, it's just like.
But is this card more about quality than quantity then? Because if I think like quantity, like let's say Lene spoke to Cheyenne 100 times during the session, I would say that more than 50 times Cheyenne responded and elaborated. But there were some really notable times when she rejected it. So is this more about like quality of like those are some like very like times, or am I thinking about how many times Cheyenne actually responded?
And this patient keeps saying yes, you're right to a therapist, and the therapist says something, and the patient says, "Fuck you!"
Yeah.
Only once. How would you rate the item?
See, I'm tempted to put that like in a 4 because I feel like most of the time
that would be a very significant part of the session. That's a turning point.
The other yeses didn't mean it.
Okay.
Right.
So like, isn't it also like based on like normal human interactions? Because like we also have to think as a session like as a normal human interaction. And if I talk to you, you would normally answer whatever you say.
No, even now I'm nodding my head as you're talking.
Like you kind of like
acknowledging. Going along, yeah.
You know that I'm talking. If you, the fact that you do, it doesn't put you in a 9. It puts you in a normal pile.
Right.
You know, if you were like being very insightful and say like yes because of this one because of this one because of that and that, and then you
exactly
move, right.
Exactly.
So I think like if you just answer and.
Exactly.
Act like a normal person, you're a 5.
Here, the uncharacteristic is if the child responds with more elaborated play, comments, or associations to therapist remarks. Now, I didn't see your particular session, but I know Cheyenne, and she rarely, if ever, does that.
Yeah, she's more interested in talking herself, and when Lene says things, she'll kind of...
It's almost like parallel monologues going on sometimes with this girl.
Yeah. Okay, I think I can... understand that, like, and my brain works weird, but the way I'm thinking of it is like a quantity versus quality issue. Like the quality of the few times that she did resist, even it was more than a few, you're right, but like those were so important to note that this card should bump up, even if more than 50% of the actual times they had a dialogue she did respond.
Right. No, I mean,
not
whenever a kid is talking,
you're never going to have a session where every other thing the kid is like, no, you know.
Yeah, I mean, whenever a kid is saying something and the therapist interprets it and then the kid says, let's play so I don't have to talk.
Yeah, that was the
to my ear, that's a turning point in the session.
Yeah.
The session hinges on that interaction right there.
Mm-hmm. It almost sounds like an adult argument.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want to, like, if an adult doesn't want to talk about something, it's like, how about we don't talk about that? How about we watch this movie and you shut up?
Like, it's one of the, it's one of the only times when I've ever seen Cheyenne be aware of her defenses, which I think I have a hunch that this session happened towards the end of treatment, just with the way that their interaction was going, but I don't know, because the numbers are, there's no dates or numbers that I can follow on them anymore.
By design.
So I was trying to crack the code, and I'm like, well, she's wearing a skirt with no clothes.
I look at
it must be warm.
Oh my gosh, why are you going through that?
No,
torturing yourself.
Short mind just runs away. But
no, but you're,
I was thinking
it was
that
a later session.
I think it was a later session, and I did think that that this was kind of surprising that Cheyenne was so explicit with her defense. I know what we can do instead of talking about it. So that was kind of like progress, maybe. I don't know.
Well, it's also very angry to say that.
I guess.
I know what we can do. You can shut the hell up and we can just play.
Let's say it that way.
All right, so 56.
Right, I understand this card better. See, that is the perfect card.
See that?
I never knew that about this card.
So you'll get a 0.8
next
week.
Oh, this is the amplitude.
Child is distant from his or her feelings. Laura said 7, Dustin 2.
I thought she was pretty aware of the fact that she didn't want to talk about anything. Or, you know, that things made her mad, like she says right when she starts to talk about her being left, or her repeating the first grade, she says, my life is very difficult, or my life's very complicated to talk about, or something like that, and Monet is like, what do you mean, why is your life difficult, or something, and she said, oh, it's a long story, but this is the second, I had to take the first grade twice, and then very, like, you know, like, I should be actually in third grade now, but I'm actually in second or something, and I just felt like she was trying to, you know, she had that kind of, not anger, but was, I guess, feeling bad about herself, or a low self-esteem about having to repeat the first grade, and she was just trying to seem like she was not that upset about it, and talk about it in a normal way, so I felt that she was, you know, trying to act cool about it, but was aware of that feeling. I didn't think that she was unaware of it.
Well, it's not really about awareness, though. Like, if you're saying that she acted kind of cool about it, that is characteristic, and that is what I had in mind when I rated this, is I thought that she was very kind of defensive about it and sort of didn't want to sort of get into it.
Was she indifferent?
No, not indifferent, but I have here in my notes that it doesn't have to be indifferent. It can be like a defensive quality to being flat about an emotional topic.
56.
Like when they were talking about the mother, this whole play centered around the mother leaves, baby Cheyenne, named Cheyenne, the mother leaves for a year and forgets about her baby. And it was stated so matter-of-factly, like, oh yeah, she left for a month. Actually a year. She left for a year. You know, oh, you know, Cheyenne, how did baby Cheyenne feel about that? Whatever.
That's pretty compelling.
Nothing. You know, I just felt like she was kind of like, but it was in a defensive way. I mean, of course she cares that mother left baby Cheyenne for a year,
but I
thought it was notable.
But she was acting like, I meant that she was like trying to act cool about it, but I didn't think that she was actually acting cool about it.
Well, we can't overthink
yeah.
these items now.
Like,
you're being an analyst. And I applaud that, but we've got to think more concretely here for these items. They have to be behaviorally anchored.
I think
the way she was talking really was not like in a cool way, even though she was trying to.
Well, were there? Did she express sharp affect, outbursts of emotion, deeply felt concern?
The example that I remember that you gave, which I thought that was helpful, I don't
mm-hmm.
know if it applies to this item.
Yep.
You know, if you ask if somebody's sad and you know that they're legitimately sad, they're like, yeah, no, I'm fine, I'm totally fine, and you don't see any affect, then obviously that would be distant from the feelings, but they're like, I told you, I'm fine, but you can tell, like, that there's, like, emotion or affect leaking
mm-hmm.
out, then that wouldn't necessarily be distant.
Yeah.
Because you're seeing the affect there,
mm-hmm.
you know, even if it is the opposite. Of
right.
When I asked her about that, in the conversation about, being delayed back a grade, Lene asked for her feelings, and Cheyenne did kind of, that was one of the occasions where she did respond. She said, sad. And Lene said, so you felt sad? And yeah. You know, like, it was just sort of like, she did state her feeling, but it was in a very, like, and I do agree that she's very tightly controlled, and I think that there was a defensive quality to it, but I think that she succeeded in sort of putting up this kind of front for most of the session. The session was about really painful topics, being held back a grade, being, you know, abandoned by the mother, and And it was just, I just was like, Cheyenne, where are you today? Like, she was very kind of, I don't know.
And what number did I have it in?
You put it in 7. I mean,
oh,
2.
I put it in 7. So. You know, I can see your side too. I mean,
I just
like
felt like she was getting
more neutral because maybe it was both.
How about a 5?
At different times. It could have been both in different times. There were times when she was more, you know, she never got really emotional, but she more, I guess, had things to say.
I guess I just always like think that she's upset even when she's not acting upset, and I kind of just, you know, when she moves away from the topic and just, you know, says things like, how about we just do this instead? I just feel like that's kind of her doing that, but...
No, and you could be very right, and I think you probably are right. I mean, you're sensing something intuitively about this girl. I applaud that, but in the context of doing research, what do we see on her face? What do we hear in her voice?
Mm-hmm.
If she says, I'm fine, don't you understand? I'm fine. We wouldn't say, oh, she's fine. Obviously, but you're hearing the emotion, you're seeing it in her face, and that would be not distant from her feelings.
Okay.
But if she says, your mother died last week, how do you feel? I'm okay. I'm fine, no problems.
Yeah.
You don't. There's no palpable emotion.
Yeah, and it wasn't as what's the word? Extreme as that. Fine. You know, it was.
Well,
kind
I was
of
trying
more,
to make a point.
Yeah, so I think I could come down a little bit because it wasn't like very extreme, but I thought it was notable. I mean, I think I still would stand by a 6. Like, I would still stand on being on that side of it.
So if they're acting calm, even though you know they're upset. Still, that they're distant.
Right. Unless you, I mean, I'm fine.
You do that with a shake.
I'm fine.
We need more of these.
You do good kid impressions.
I know.
You just probably work with so many of them.
Yeah.
All right, 57. Therapist attempts to modify distortions in child's beliefs. We had Laura in 1 and Dustin in 6. So, according to Laura, Lene is accepting Cheyenne's distortions without comment or challenge.
I don't want that in 1 anymore. I want it in like a 3 or something. I don't know why that.
What about
I
you,
that
Dustin?
Was the biggest
and
thing
I
to highlight about the
6.
Session.
I put it in 6.
Did she?
The question is this: did Lene ever, at any time, challenge Cheyenne's beliefs, ideas, feelings, or anything like that? In other words, try to bring her back into reality in
I
any
really
way.
Didn't really think so.
So then you agree with Laura. If she didn't attempt that,
then she accepts then child's distortions without comment.
Yeah.
That's uncharacteristic.
Right. But you put in 6.
Oh yeah, you're right.
That 6 pile doesn't like you very much.
Maybe
I think your cards are like crawling away.
Wait,
you didn't put them.
Maybe that's not what I was thinking. Maybe there were a couple of things that I. Now I'm starting to remember that I thought there were a couple of things that I was surprised that she was correcting Cheyenne on. I really meant to bring my note sheet on, actually. My note sheet, but I forgot it. I think...
It's not correcting either, like, oh, you spelled baby wrong.
No, I know.
Okay.
I know. It was like about, like...
Like, you see me as your tormentor, but I'm really not. How have I tormented you yet today? That kind of thing. That would be modifying a distorted belief.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, remember that session when Lene was like, I don't know why you're angry with me. I didn't, you know, and Cheyenne, like, remembered wrongly what Lene had said and put it in a much more aggressive way. What Lene had said, and Lene's like, Cheyenne, did I really say that?
Oh, I think it was because in...
That was
a... Yeah, that would count.
I think I was thinking that of was when Cheyenne was being a teacher in the beginning, mm-hmm. and Renee was listening, and Cheyenne was saying, so this is, you know, what a babysitter does, and this is what the, you know, this is how this is supposed to be, and this is how... And Renee was like, oh yeah, oh really? Are you sure? Is that how it's supposed to be, huh? Or something like that. I was kind of like surprised that it stood out in my mind, I think, that she was kind of questioning. She wasn't totally going along with everything that Cheyenne was trying to teach about babysitting. She was kind of, you know, just playing like that annoying student in class who's like messing with the teacher and being like, oh really, why is that true? I thought Columbus wasn't the first one to discover
that. If I can say, like, that doesn't mean that she was distinguishing the two. Like, if she had said, okay, Cheyenne, let's make it clear, this doesn't really happen with babysitters. They don't do this, right? We can play it, this is what happens, but you know this doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
She just asked and said, oh, really, is that what happens? And I just left it at that. I wouldn't put it necessarily completely undistinguished. Like, she tried a tiny bit,
yeah.
but I wouldn't go past four.
Okay.
I also didn't perceive her that way, but that,
yeah,
you know,
sense.
But that just shows, I think, maybe our own counter-transference coming in, because I didn't perceive Lene that way at all. I actually thought it was interesting that, like, Lene, like, she was quizzing Lene on what do babysitters do, and Lene, you know, said, oh, babysitters put the baby to sleep, and Cheyenne was like, right, and write it on the board, and then she'd say, oh, maybe babysitters talk to the kids, and Cheyenne said, no, that's not right, they don't talk to the kids, and Lene's like, oh, okay, babysitters don't talk to the kids, but just sort of, I think my perception was she was sort of inquiring as to, like, why, or, like, asking Cheyenne to associate more to that, like, why can't babysitters talk to kids, but I didn't see her as so critical as it seems. You know, it sounds like you saw her as more like critical and trying to be annoying, and I saw it more as like a kind of a, like an opening to associate. But like,
yeah.
I have seen Lene as more critical at other points, but I didn't see it there. And like, that's interesting. We like definitely perceived that same, because I know exactly what you're talking about, and I had just a different feeling about that.
Yeah, in the beginning, I agree that that's what I thought at the beginning, and then I felt like Cheyenne kept repeatedly being like, no, like telling her answers are wrong, and then like at some point Lene was like, really, why is that, or like started almost getting like, I don't know, you know, maybe that is my
maybe you were getting a little bit annoyed with Cheyenne in the session. I think maybe you were.
Maybe I was like,
she's an annoying child sometimes. Yeah, sometimes I get really annoyed.
You wouldn't be human if you didn't get annoyed with her.
Mm-hmm. Because she's projects that.
She's
like
provocative.
Projective identification, right? She like,
yeah.
puts it right in you.
Absolutely.
Be annoyed with me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Test
it's a
the
form
limits.
Of communication. It's a test. It's a lot of things rolled up in one.
Yeah.
Let's move on. 63. Child explores relationships with significant others. Now this one you guys should nail. Laura in 3 and Dustin in 7.
This is one of those where there was talk about relationships, but I thought it was avoided when there was talk about it.
Well,
I don't know.
Did the child explore or not?
Like Lene would say, like, why did the mother leave the baby, or how does the baby feel about the mother leaving her? And she just sort of like wouldn't go there. And it was
well,
a really important topic, and she really wouldn't.
That would be a 3.
But she did, I mean, it was a topic, like parents were a topic and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that,
I
but
can't
I think
hear.
The topic was important.
Yeah, I can't hear Cheyenne saying something like, I wonder if my rudeness is making my mother sad as well as angry.
Yeah, no,
she
definitely doesn't.
She
it's mentioned the word
there,
mother.
And I really wish she would have, because it was such an important topic.
Yeah.
It would be really therapeutic if she would follow, because Lene was asking really good questions about just trying to gently probe for feelings.
Right.
And
yeah, you're right on this one. I'm gonna step down because I definitely was just thinking whether or not they discussed this, and I was not thinking, you know, I didn't think about whether Cheyenne was trying to avoid the topic. I was just thinking, oh yeah, they talked about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 70. child's, this is an item that Celeste modified as a result. I'll be with you in a few minutes. Celeste modified as a result of our working together. Child struggles with controlling feelings or impulses. Laura in 6, Dustin in 2.
This is related to that other item, I think, when I rated her as flat, because I did see that as defensive against strong feelings. So that was what I was thinking of on this one, that she was trying to manage strong feelings, and she did feel really upset about the topic about staying back in school, but she just sort of fought pretty hard to, like, get off that topic. But she wasn't, like, in tears or anything like that, hence the 6, but...
Well, I don't know. I mean, let's think about this. What Celeste added to the uncharacteristic direction is, or has little or no difficulty achieving control over her emotions. It sounds like she didn't really have much difficulty achieving control. It's like, well, you
that's
know.
That's true. It was relatively easy for her. She wasn't, like, fighting with the tears.
Your mom abandoned the baby for a year. Okay, well, that's the way life goes.
I realize I have revised my packet, but I don't think I've written this edition on my card.
Oh, okay.
So I do need to do that. That's a task for me.
So it says...
To put this on my card, but I have it on here.
Oh, okay.
In my packet. Right.
Yeah, if you could do that.
I will add it to my card, because I agree. Okay, so little or no difficulty.
So I would agree with Dustin on this one.
Okay.
All right, 76. Therapist makes links between child's feelings and experience. Laura in 7, Dustin in 3. Did Lene make links or did she not?
She did a little, but I kind of know why you put it there, because she didn't, like, really go for it. Like, when Cheyenne was being defensive and distancing herself from affects, which has been a big theme of the session, she didn't, like, totally pounce on it. But Cheyenne was, she kept saying, like, let's not talk about it, and, like, Lene followed it for a little while, but then kind of let Cheyenne go on it and go back and let her retreat back into the play, which I thought was, like, a clinical judgment that I think Cheyenne, like, kept protesting, so she just sort of let it go.
Well, did Lene mention anything about affects?
I didn't think there's anything, like, close to being, like, you soon said that because, you know, this is the day before I'm going to be going on vacation, or, like, I didn't hear her, like, relating anything to what was going on currently, like,
I didn't think of this card, I didn't think it had to just be present experience, even though the example is a present experience, but I think she did make a link between her feelings and past experience of being held back in school. So I guess the question is
what
this card
what did she say? Did she say a specific emotion?
Yeah, Cheyenne answered her. She said sad, that she felt sad that she had to stay back in school.
But Lene didn't, well, I guess Lene said, you seem like you're pretty upset about the fact that you are not in, that you're supposed to be in third grade.
Well, that
you're not.
Upset is a feeling, so that would count.
And
of course, you give me one,
like,
example.
Yeah.
We could argue a quantity issue here.
No, I do have written here that I in my notes I say Lene attuned to Cheyenne's avoidance of the topic. And Cheyenne confirmed. So I'm noting to myself that when Lene said something like, you seem to not want to talk about this right now, Cheyenne said yes. And then I have here, Lene asked for feelings in the moment, thoughts, feelings and thoughts in the moment. And then C responds, sad, but resists talking further. So, like, Lene didn't, like, pounce on it, but she did say, like, how does it feel right now to talk about? It seems like you don't want to talk about this. Yes. How does it feel to talk about something you don't want to talk about, or how does it feel to talk about staying back in school? And Cheyenne did say sad, but that was, like, it. Like, she wouldn't go beyond just saying the word sad.
It sounds like a neutral category to me.
Maybe it was kind of both.
Because she's not saying, you feel sad because you feel inadequate intellectually because you, you know, you failed at school or whatever. She didn't say that.
I see. So a stronger link is really what's meant by that, not just like.
She asked the question, how do you feel that you were left back? She's not making the link. She's asking the patient to make the link.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a little different.
No, you're right. Because Lene didn't make the link. And when Cheyenne wouldn't fight, Lene backed off rather than like.
Well, this is what I think. I think you're feeling sad because you feel intellectually inferior to your peers. That's because you got left back.
No, you're right. That was missing. And I wanted Lene to, like, pass on it.
She didn't.
And she didn't. But she let Cheyenne have some space, which was needed.
No, you're right. It wasn't so good as that. Cheyenne would have, at that point, it was, like, very touchy. And I think Cheyenne might have
gone into her retreat in the corner.
I think
there was a potential for a breach there, and I think that Lene kind of repaired it by backing off.
The whole session could have possibly just been disaster from that point on. She was like, I think you are feeling like inadequate about your intelligence or something. Because I think Cheyenne was clearly trying to get around that specific thing. She wasn't saying like, I didn't do well or anything like that. She kept saying, like, I didn't go to kindergarten because I moved to a different town. And, well, that might have been true. The reason that she had to repeat the first grade is because she moved to a different town, she said.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how much truth was in all that. So I did kind of see that as a potential distortion that when I didn't
really, sure,
like, say, like, okay, what year were you in the first grade? And let's figure out if this is really true. Like, she didn't really, and
it
doesn't matter if it's true because it's what Cheyenne remembers of it, which is important.
Are you sure it's not just because you did that?
It's not just really because you suck.
82. Therapist helps the child manage feelings. Laura in 1, Dustin in 5.
Did you put it there because she wasn't ever really overwhelmed with feeling?
Which one is this? 80? I thought it was 82.
82.
Therapist. Oh. I think, I didn't see any instance of this card really relating, to this session. I just didn't feel like it was too salient.
So, Laura, you're saying that Lene did not intervene or encourage elaboration when a child is overwhelmed by feeling.
Well, she did encourage elaboration. She did not intervene, and she did encourage elaboration. But I don't think Cheyenne was ever really overwhelmed by feeling. But
it says here, therapist does not intervene or encourage elaboration.
No, encourages. Does not intervene or encourages elaboration. So,
right.
So that one's... I know that confused me at this. I think, you know, Cheyenne, I don't know, I'm torn about this. I don't like that I put that one in 1 either. I don't necessarily, I was annoyed with that last night too, because I didn't necessarily like what I had in like the most extreme piles. Like, I knew I wanted them characteristic, but I like the 9s and the 1s, like things had to move. Like, this card definitely moved from 2 down to 1, and I was ambivalent about it.
Well, see, I would agree with Dustin on this one, because if she's not overwhelmed by feeling, you can't really rate the card.
Yeah, but when she had any feelings at all, I think Lene did, like, encourage elaboration on feelings.
Like, it says when child is overwhelmed by feeling.
Yes. All right. So, okay.
But I think that's a 5.
4. I can't.
Moving right along. 95. Child's play lacks spontaneity. Now this is one that we should nail.
Oh.
Laura in 8, Dustin in 4. You felt she was very rigid, stilted, repetitive. Laura, you felt that?
Yeah. I mean, the session started with her being teacher and Lene being student, and they were writing things on the board, and then it was, you know, somewhat imaginative to like start the play, like the scene of it, but then like for like 30 minutes she just like fed the baby water and watched it pee it out, and then fed the baby water and watched it pee it out, and was just really like into like making the baby pee over and over again, and like there was really nothing but I do think there was the imaginative moment of like creating the like scene of like the mother leaving and the baby sort of taking care of the baby, but I just thought
what about this like, whole like 95 theses of babysitting she had, like she creates this like Bible of babysitting on the board that she's like, what must
yeah,
the
but it's wrote
do
like a teacher writes things on the board,
yeah, but she does that and then she starts this whole story up about the babe, I mean, the baby and the mother, and she's doing, I just thought because she's playing imaginatively, or what's it called? She's
spontaneously.
No. I thought that.
Spontaneously, but only to avoid talking is when she created the scene, so we don't have to talk.
Well, what I was thinking of is the word for just make believe. She was just
pretending.
Pretend play. I thought.
Yeah. I don't want to be an aide anymore.
What character? What did I put it in again?
Dustin in 4.
You guys even rated just like
one
super.
One distinction that I make for this item, I don't know if it's good. That sometimes I think, like, is the place symbolic or not? Like, is the child, like, playing with something and there's a dialogue and, you know, as opposed to, like, let's play this board game and we're going to stick to the rules of this board game. So, like, this still is her fantasy. You know
what
I mean?
It's her fantasy. But then when, like, Linnea would ask questions like, what does the mommy think about the baby peeing all the time or whatever, she'd be like, it's the kind of baby doll that pees. I asked for this for Christmas. I wanted one of the real live dolls that pees.
I agree with you. But even fantasy play can become obsessive compulsive.
Okay.
And it can really become very rote. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Laura is highlighting here. Mm-hmm.
But I don't want it in 8 anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, how about a 5?
Yeah, because I guess it's both. Or maybe like a 6, because I did think it was notable that it kind of got into this sort of like just feeding the baby and peeing and feeding the baby and peeing. But,
But
there were like
other stuff.
There wasn't like board game.
Yeah, and it wasn't like she was just like following like, the directions on the box for what you're supposed to do with the baby. They created a story though. So it's like a story that she made up that didn't say on the box, like, invent this story about the baby and the mother, you know?
That's true. I mean, she did do sort of like what the function of this toy does, which is that it's like this real baby doll that pees, and that's the thing she focused on, but she created
the story. 5.
It definitely was a boring pretend story.
They have 5.
5!
Yay! All right, we're out of here. Sylvia, we're going
to
have a party next week.
Sweet.
And then we're going to code one cornerstone session for $25. And I want you to think about whether you want to continue or not. Continue coding cornerstone tapes.
Okay. Can I just like make a quick statement about my lateness and the reasons and the problems for eventual future meetings?
Well, hopefully we'll only have one more meeting.
I know, like just in case, whatever. The point is like Dr. Keeson lives in Vermont right now.
He lives in Vermont?
For a few months. He's getting his house remodeled. So he temporarily is only in here for like a day and a half every week. So three supervisees have to squeeze in very tight.
Okay.
So basically, him and I thought we would be done like basically at 5:10. That's why I said, okay, I mean, I'm only going to be 10 minutes late. It was only option. I'm realizing it's not happening because I talk too much in supervision. So I want to be realistic, and I'm saying that is my option basically for these few months, and that's it.
Okay.
So I'm saying if we have more meetings, like might happen, it'll be later than just 10 minutes.
All right.
So we might think about it in the future.
If after next week we have more meetings, maybe we could make the coding team meeting a little later.
If that's okay with other people.
It's
basically
that.
I'm realizing, you know, that like it's I'm not realistic when I say the supervision will be 45 minutes because that's not, and it's because of me. So I can't like, you know, expect it to happen when it won't happen.
All right. See you next week.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
See you tomorrow.
All right.
Oh. sunny day. Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Hey.
Hi.
You could have come in.
Oh, I'm...
How proud I am.